It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Milwaukee is planning to provide doulas to 100 new mothers in one of the most troubled neighborhoods in the city under a program that's part of a statewide initiative called Healthy Women, Healthy Babies, being led by Governor Tony Evers as part of his budget proposal. Doulas provide physical and emotional support and advocacy for women and their partners during and after the birthing process. We'll find out more about doulas and how supporters of the pilot program feel that they can produce better health outcomes for Milwaukee mothers and their babies. Did you have a doula during your pregnancy? What was that experience like? What do you think your experience would have been like had it not been for the doula? Tell us your story at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Tia Murray is a doula and the co-founder of the Harambe Village. That's a community-based agency that provides pregnancy, birth, and lactation support to mothers and families in South Central Wisconsin. Tia, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Tia, tell us first, what is a doula? What do they do?
Sure. That's a very common question that we get. Doulas are perinatal health professionals, and we really work to support the emotional and social needs of pregnant and birthing people, which is something that I think gets overlooked in the healthcare system. But particularly, we provide emotional, evidence-based informational, and also physical support during pregnancy, childbirth, as well as the postpartum period.
And do they have to be registered or certified?
They don't necessarily have to be certified. My agency particularly follows a community-based doula model, whereas we do train and hire people from the community, some of which are certified, some of which are just trained. But there's a various range of doula professions, but most doulas are trained in some capacity and some are also certified.
And can they give medical advice at all, or are they just there to provide support more than anything else?
Well, I wouldn't say that doulas give medical advice, as we don't do any clinical tasks. However, one important piece of the doula model is that we provide evidence-based informational support, which really helps families and birthing people make informed decisions about their bodies, their babies, and about their families.
And what does becoming a doula entail? How do you go about it?
Sure. Everybody's journey looks different. You know, some people come to this work having helped others in their community, having supported family members during pregnancy and birth. Some have their own lived experience birthing, you know, several babies and bring that lived experience to this work. But for us at our agency, most of us have participated in a doula training, which entails several days of training, breastfeeding training, and additional CPR and other sorts of basic trainings as well.
Okay, let's get to the specifics of the plan for Milwaukee. Milwaukee has plans to provide doulas to 100 new mothers in the city's 53206 zip code, which has been called one of the most troubled neighborhoods in the city. It would be part of a pilot program intended to improve birth and maternal health outcomes there. Tia, how do you see this program helping women in that area as well as their babies?
Well, we've known for a long time that doulas are part of the solution, especially in respect to combating racial disparities in maternal child health outcomes. So I do see this as a start in the right direction. Hopefully, doulas of color will be at the table in planning and implementing this pilot. There will be opportunities for equitable pay for doulas who are doing this difficult work on the ground with these families. And that we will really see it as a community-led effort, as we know that will really produce the best outcomes for women and children.
What areas beside Milwaukee do you see benefiting from this type of program if it were expanded?
You know, that's a great program. I think a lot of times disparities become equated with poverty. And as we know, there's many, many, you know, disparate outcomes that exist in the particular area code that we've talked about in Milwaukee. However, really, Black and brown women across the state of Wisconsin deserve to have access to doula support and quality healthcare.
Tia Murray is a doula and the co-founder of the Harambee Village. That's a community-based agency that provides pregnancy, birth, and lactation support to mothers and families in South Central Wisconsin. We're talking about a proposed program in Milwaukee that would provide doula support. And we've identified what doulas are and how they become doulas. Did you have a doula throughout your pregnancy? What was that experience like? Do you wish you had access to services like that? Let us know at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. The average infant mortality rate in Wisconsin is 4.8 per 1,000 white infants, Tia. For African-American infants, it's 14.2 per 1,000. The maternal mortality rate is also higher for African-American women than it is for white women, five times higher. Why is that happening? What do we know here?
Well, I think it's best to start with the root causes, Tom. And what we know is that our historical experience here in this country as Black women, for Native women as well, and we're seeing upward trends for our Latina sisters, there's an issue with systemic social, cultural, and institutional racism and bias. And we know that's at the true root cause of these disparities. And then when you confound that with our day-to-day experiences in the healthcare system, where we've also had documented implicit bias and racism and a lack of quality of care, especially in a state where we have some of the best healthcare, we really are seeing these huge spikes and upward trends in Black infant mortality and maternal mortality is on the rise as well.
And how do we see doulas improving health outcomes? How do they fit into this picture?
Sure. The doula model of care is very relationship-based, and we're able to create safe spaces for women and children and families to talk about these sort of issues that aren't being addressed with their healthcare provider or within the healthcare system. And so by creating those safe spaces, we're able to mitigate and combat some of those stressors. So although we can't necessarily affect the historical aspect, what we can do is empower these clients to have a better perinatal health experience.
And let's talk about the emotional support that doulas provide. How do they do that? And how do they act as a resource during this? Well, it's a life-changing time.
Sure. Well, what we do is relationship-based, and particularly with the community-based doula model, we provide home visitation, and we're spending a lot of time getting to know the clients, getting to know their wishes and their desires, and helping them find their voice, and helping them navigate the healthcare system, navigate experiences of prejudice and discrimination as they're going to their doctor's appointments, when they're not receiving evidence-based information, and when they're not being listened to. And I think, you know, that's a huge issue that a lot of women of color are facing. And how do you get your healthcare needs met when you're not being listened to in the healthcare system? So really supporting, you know, that emotional and social side of maternal child healthcare is a missing piece in our healthcare system. And doulas are filling in that gap.
We're going to continue our conversation with doula Tia Murray right after short break. Doulas, we want to hear from you. What led you to this work? What led you to the work? What have you learned about maternal health care and your community? What do people need to understand about the work of a doula? There's a line for you to share your story with us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Milwaukee's planning to provide doulas to 100 new mothers in one of the most troubled neighborhoods in the city. It's part of a statewide initiative called Healthy Women, Healthy Babies, being led by Governor Tony Evers as part of his budget proposal. Doulas provide physical and emotional support and advocacy for women and their partners during and after the birthing process. Did you have a doula during your pregnancy? What was that experience like? Doulas, we want to hear from you. What led you to this work? What have you learned about maternal health in your community? What do people need to understand about doulas? 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. We are talking about doulas with Tia Murray, who is a doula, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Tia, we have a caller. Let's go to the phones and hear from Jeff in Deerfield. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, John. Thanks for taking my call. So mine is more of just a comment. My wife and I, we have three kids. Our first child, we went through a cesarean. We did not have a good experience from all of that. And then when we were pregnant with our second child, we decided to work with a doula, and we were able to, you know, go through a VBAC, not just once, but twice. So, and just the emotional support that they provided for my wife was great throughout the whole entire thing. And then just the difference afterwards was astonishingly different for her postpartum experience. I mean, rather than having to deal with everything with a cesarean surgery and everything that comes afterwards, she was in a much better state and enjoyed being with her kid, with our newborns a lot more.
Jeff, thanks for sharing your story. Tia, is this a typical doula story?
It absolutely is, and I really appreciate him sharing his story. This happens so often. And again, like I mentioned, you know, that social and emotional aspect of the birthing experience and that postpartum experience tends to get overlooked, and there's a huge gap in that continuity of care. And we know that doulas can produce better outcomes, better satisfaction with birth experiences, less perinatal mood disorders, and better breastfeeding outcomes.
We have an email from Paul in Eau Claire, which is going to take us to our next question. I think Paul emails, I couldn't afford a doula when my children were born. As a taxpayer, why should I spend my tax dollars on a doula for Milwaukee? How expensive is it to have doula services?
It really ranges. I think the average cost in this particular area here in Madison, Dane County, ranges from about $1,000 to $1,500. And so, you know, providing access to these services are important. What we know is that overall we see healthcare cost savings. Doulas working with women and other birthing people during the perinatal period are producing better birth, breastfeeding, postpartum, and parenting outcomes. So overall, we're seeing less healthcare costs and better health outcomes.
A pilot program aside, let's talk about whether or not doula services are covered by health insurance.
Absolutely. So currently, many private insurance companies do not cover doula services. Neither does Medicaid. And so typically, women or other birthing people are paying out of pocket to really access those services. And it's really seen as more of like a luxury. Some states have passed some legislation where they've expanded Medicaid coverage for doulas, which is great. And they're seeing some great outcomes. However, one of the issues that we have as doulas is that the reimbursement isn't equitable. But it's a step in the right direction. And we're hoping we can follow the same path here in Wisconsin as well.
Let's take another caller. Terry is with us in Green Bay. Terry, good morning. You're on the morning show.
Hi, good morning. Great topic here that is very important to early childhood development. Just a comment and a question that we were kind of just addressing a moment ago. But, you know, me and my wife, we had twins. It was hard, you know, obviously feeding two kids at once. And obviously she suffers from severe depression at times as well. So having that emotional support would have been very helpful for doulas, and we were just kind of learning about them at the same time. But what's the current funding model when it comes to private insurance, you know, backing through the state like this, and how can we kind of get this more program, you know, more mainstream?
Terry, thanks so much for your call. How do we make doula services more mainstream? You commented a moment ago, Tia, that insurance companies regarded this as kind of a luxury, a frill, if you will. How do we change that?
That's a great question. And I think it starts with conversations like this, really raising awareness about doulas and the work that they do. You know, we joke around at my agency and we say we don't just rub people's backs, right? There's so many social, ecological aspects and ripple effects from the work that we are doing in that perinatal period. You know, it really takes a village to raise a baby, and we know that early childhood starts in utero. And so there's so many great outcomes that come from doula support during the perinatal period. And so we need buy-in across disciplines, across sectors, and in our legislature and our policymaking, because if we really truly want to see better health outcomes for women, for children, for babies, for families overall, we need to invest in this work, and we need to get our private sector and our public sector involved in that matter.
You know, Tia, as I listen to you describe the role of the doula, it seems to me that at one time these services were provided by mothers and grandmothers. Is this a sign of how kind of fragmented our extended family life has come, that this service is something that we're even discussing?
You know, it really is. You know, the essence of a doula is something that we've seen historically and culturally in almost every society. There's always been someone, particularly women, acting in the role of supporting birthing people during the time of birth and early parenting. And so this is an ancient thing, and this is something we have always done in our communities. But because we are so fragmented, because some of us have been brought to this country and have lost some of those cultural resources, you know, we're really trying to pick up those pieces and really get back to our roots.
Tia Murray is a doula and co-founder of Harambe Village. That's a community-based agency that provides pregnancy, birth, and lactation support to mothers and families in South Central Wisconsin. Tell us your doula story. Are you a doula? Do you wish you had access to one? Let us know at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Let's take another call. Cesar is with us from Milwaukee. Good morning. You're on the morning show.
Good morning. I just wanted to call in about my experience with the doula. My wife and I decided to seek out the services, one mainly because they offered the placenta was turned into pills, and it helped my wife with postpartum depression. But also it helped me with knowing how to interact with my wife, and it helped me learn a lot about the baby and how it latches and breastfeeding. So there was we had a great help from those visitations from the doula, from those three aspects. It helped me as a male not knowing a lot about what women are going through physically and emotionally. So I really think that these services are great. So I applaud this community for pushing forward on it.
Cesar, thank you for your for sharing your story with us. Tia, again, is this a typical doula story?
It absolutely is. And I love how fathers are calling in and sharing their experiences, because I think that's a piece of our work that also gets overlooked, is that doulas support fathers as well. You know, fathers, you know, if they are present and available for their partners, usually act in that supporting role. And sometimes as doulas, we're really supporting the father, you know, to help their partner birth their baby or breastfeed their baby and really understand the physiological aspects of what's going on during the process, because fathers need support too.
What challenges do doulas face when it comes to how they're treated? Do they struggle getting paid enough or being respected for their work?
Absolutely. You know, the healthcare system has a very interesting culture, and there are a lot of struggles working within that field. And so one of our jobs as doulas is really to facilitate relationships in the birthing room and with the healthcare team, because we know working collaboratively, produces better outcomes. But again, yes, sometimes I don't think we're taken as seriously as we should be, and therefore aren't granted the, you know, a respectable, equitable compensation for our work.
If somebody wants to be a doula, what are the first steps they should take?
That's a great question. We have a lot of local doula trainers. One very common training program is through DONA, Doulas of North America International. It's an international certification body, one of the top seven. There's other organizations out there like Pro Doula. And so really a Google search for doula training, or you could contact Harambe Village. We love to support and mentor others who are looking to get into the profession. And that you can visit us at harambevillage.org and contact us, and we can help you get there.
Tia, thank you. Thank you for coming on the radio this morning and talking about this important topic. I really appreciate your time. Tia Murray is a doula and co-founder of Harambe Village. She is a community-based agency, provides pregnancy, birth, and lactation support to mothers and families in South Central Wisconsin. We will continue our look at women's health in Wisconsin this hour and consider what women in our state need to thrive. What would improved women's health mean for your community? Share your story with us at 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. We've been talking about women's health in Wisconsin, specifically so far about a new program to provide doula support in one of Milwaukee's most troubled neighborhoods. But now we want to expand the conversation to the entire state. Women of Wisconsin, what do you need to be healthy? More support for child care needs, better access to health care in your community, the ability to afford a doula? Let us know at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org, you can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Joining me now is Sarah Finger, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, a nonprofit organization that advocates for policies supporting women's health. Sarah, good morning. Welcome to The Morning Show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Governor Evers' budget proposal includes $28 million to help improve women's health and infant care. A chunk of that is intended for doula training and Medicaid coverage for doula services. Why is this important?
Well, it's incredibly important just to elevate the role or the priority of women's health and well-being and economic security in the state, which we haven't seen for the last 8 years. So we're celebrating the Healthy Women, Healthy Babies initiative and many components of the governor's state budget. But the idea that there is many, many ingredients that have been missing to the recipe to help women reach their optimal health and well-being, doula support and availability of doula services is a critical ingredient in that recipe. And so we are very excited to, I kind of feel like 2019 is the year of the doula. I feel like everywhere we turn now, we're learning about the benefits of doula support and how doulas are really moving the dial when it comes to maternal and child health outcomes across this country and in Wisconsin. And so the idea that this budget particularly really lifts up the role of doulas and invests in them is something to get really excited about.
And at the ground level, what do you think this could mean for Wisconsin women and their communities?
I really look at doulas as being an advocate, someone to help navigate the complicated waters that are there between preconception, conception, and postpartum. And the idea of having these kind of coaches, these kind of individuals that are there throughout the entire journey to help not just provide the physical support, but the emotional support, and then the connection to resources that help that family get a healthy start. And so I really think that the role of doulas and investing in them and their role to help women throughout this entire journey is really going to strengthen the outcomes for not just women's health, but baby's health.
As you heard earlier this hour, we talked about the plan for Milwaukee to provide doula services to 100 new mothers in the city's 53206 zip code, which is an area that is almost 95% African American. Sarah, why do you think it's important that we improve this area's access to doulas?
Well, I grew up in the adjacent zip code. And it has been heartbreaking. For the last decade, we have seen this public health crisis. We, about 10 years ago, recognized this outrageous set of disparities around African-American women and babies in Southeast Wisconsin, in particular in 53206. And we've thrown millions of dollars and a lot of attention towards this problem, but have not yet moved the dial. We need to not just depend on one intervention here or there. We need to look comprehensively at what it's going to take to really help stabilize the families in these zip codes that have been struggling for far too long when it comes to their not only health, but their safety and their economic security. And so the idea of us finally acknowledging the role that community-led doula work can do to help these women who have been marginalized and really experiencing the kind of just unacceptable level of disparities, I'm excited at the progress it can make.
Sarah Finger is the executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, a nonprofit organization that advocates for policies supporting women's health. And women's health is what we're talking about this hour. Women of Wisconsin, what do you need to be healthy? Is it access to an affordable doula service, more support for childcare needs, better access in general to health care in your community? Let us know what you need. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Milwaukee Alderman Khalif Rainey said that he grew up in the 53206 area and saw firsthand the lack of maternal health resources available to mothers and newborns and how it affected them. So how does the lack of maternal health resources affect outcomes for new mothers and their babies?
Well, I think we need to begin with a healthy woman preconception. And we have definitely struggled with having affordable access to quality health care in the state, not fully meeting the promise of the Affordable Care Act and fully expanding our Badger Care Medicaid program. And so the problem has been for a long time is that when we can't afford and we can't access that quality health care, we don't have the healthiest start to a pregnancy and therefore already are threatening in a way the success of a pregnancy and that pregnancy outcome. And so the idea of in that zip code or any zip code, we need to make sure that women equally have access to all the resources they need, again, not just for their physical health, but for their economic security and well-being.
And how do you raise awareness of the services that are available?
Well, that's why doulas are so incredibly important. You need people from the community talking to members of their own community. And I think having these community led organizations and efforts like the doula work is going to be so critical to being effective messengers to reach women in the community and let them know that these are programs and services available to them and that they're not alone and that there is an entire state that's not just going to ignore a community that's been experiencing disparities, but that it's all of our problem. We're all going to invest in it.
We've been talking about Milwaukee. Let's talk a little bit about rural Wisconsin for a second. How similar, how different are the struggles faced by new moms and their infants in urban areas versus the more rural areas of Wisconsin?
You know, Wisconsin overall has a shortage of obstetricians and gynecologists. We, as a state, have struggled to make sure that there is adequate number of healthcare providers, and that's why you're seeing, I think, a move to really lift up the role of doulas and advanced nurses and other primary health care providers that can help fill in those gaps. But whether you're in the city of Milwaukee or whether you're in Wautoma or in Eagle River, the challenges are somewhat similar in that it's all about getting to your health care provider. And in some cases where we don't have any kind of public transportation, it often takes women up to an hour to travel to a hospital or a healthcare provider for pregnancy-related care or anything else. And so we have to look at the same kind of, again, ingredients that help women in Milwaukee, like transportation and housing and adequate nutrition and economic and educational opportunities. That applies everywhere in Wisconsin.
The we're talking about women's health in Wisconsin, and wondering what you think. What would look good in your community? What do you need to be healthy? More support for childcare, better access to health care, maybe some transportation, doula services. Let us know. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sarah Finger is with us this hour, and she is the executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, a nonprofit organization that advocates for policies supporting women's health. When we look at women and family health in Wisconsin in general, back up the telescope just a second here, take a little broader view. Where do we stand and where can we improve?
The American Health Rankings in 2018 actually put Wisconsin as number 14 out of the entire country. That's a report specifically about the health of women and kids in Wisconsin. So again, we're ranked 14th and not a bad place to be. But the problem we have in Wisconsin is that we often look as a whole. We look at, you know, if we put our entire state together, all women, all children, we look pretty good. We look pretty good on paper. But when we start breaking it down and looking at where different individuals, different communities weigh in, that's when it gets really alarming. The fact that our county health rankings just came out, and in terms of low birth weight, the U.S. average is 8% around low birth weight babies. And in the African-American community in Wisconsin, it's actually 14%. And so I don't mind talking about how Wisconsin fares nationally overall, but what concerns me most as a women's health advocate is that when we drill down and really look at the individual populations that are not faring well, and when you break those down, it's just we are sadly some of the worst in the country when it comes to health outcomes and economic security outcomes for the African-American community anywhere in Wisconsin.
And what do we do about this, though? I guess that because this isn't the first time that we've talked about this, at least on this program and on many others, and there have been lots of discussions and commissions and so forth. What do we actually need to do? What needs to happen? What needs to change?
Well, number one, we need to recognize this is a statewide crisis. You know, we've taken things like opioid addiction and made it a statewide public health crisis. And the idea that we have these outrageous disparities, maybe in Southeast Wisconsin, has failed to reach the level of a statewide crisis. So I grew up in Milwaukee. I went to school in Eau Claire. I've lived in Madison for the last 20 years. We cannot look at ourselves as just pockets of Wisconsin. We are in an entire state. And as soon as we start ignoring and conveniently dismissing some disparities that exist in communities that don't look like us, we fail to really lift up the entire state. And so, one, we need to make sure that as a state, in every level, every legislator all across Wisconsin needs to recognize these disparities. And then number two, I think we really need to look at interventions in a very comprehensive way. It's absolutely critical we look at direct service, education and outreach opportunities, and policy and advocacy solutions.
Sarah Finger, the executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, a nonprofit organization that advocates for policies supporting women's health. Sarah stays with us as our conversation continues. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about women's health in Wisconsin with Sarah Finger, the executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, a nonprofit organization that advocates for policies supporting women's health. What does women's health look like in your community? What do you need to be healthy? Whatever it is, let us know. You need better access to health care, transportation, the ability to afford, for example, a doula. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We have a caller on the line. Let's go to La Crosse. Jill is with us. Jill, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that I think education is key to get women to understand and recognize where those resources are in the community for support with healthcare and some of those softer parts of healthcare that, for example, parenting and childcare access, things that can help women take better care of themselves. And I think that education should be kind of at the point of care. For example, when a young mother comes in, maybe for enrolling for the first time in the WIC program, you know, getting some nutrition information there and access to community resources. Or the schools sending home information in the weekly newsletters about parenting programs or resources, free resources in the community. I know dental care is difficult for people to access that are on government, you know, medical programs. So I think education is really, really important.
Jill, thanks so much for your call. Sarah, a lot to talk about there.
I couldn't agree more, Jill. I think that making sure people are aware of the resources is absolutely critical. Connecting women at a time when they need some of these benefits is absolutely imperative. But I also, I'm a policy girl. I work upstream, and I really want to make sure that we can lift these women and these families out of these circumstances through policy and systems changes that allow them to achieve the economic security where they don't have to be relying on some of these programs. But I absolutely agree, like I was saying right before the break, that we need direct services, we need education and outreach to make sure people know the kind of benefits of different programs, and then we need the policies and systems changes.
One of the things that Jill mentioned was dental care and access to it, particularly for those who are on some form of assistance. How big a problem is this in Wisconsin?
It's enormous, and we're grateful to the governor for helping to raise up the issues of dental health care access and its impacts on so many other aspects of our lives. Dental health actually ties right in with maternal child health outcomes. And so women that have poor dental health and don't have access to treatment will often face complications in their pregnancy because of that. A lot of people don't know that. But we're really grateful again to the governor for investing some funds and help increase dental access in Wisconsin.
How do we sustain long-term postnatal care in Wisconsin, something that would encompass some of this education that Jill is talking about? How do we get that going, and then how do we keep it going?
Well, Governor Evers has actually proposed women right now on Medicaid get 60 days postpartum coverage for health care. And Governor Evers is proposing to expand that to an entire year postpartum. So I think that's a great step in the right direction to ensure that there's that health care coverage so that you can get access to the full range of services you need in that very important time for a new mom and a young family.
You made a statement after Governor Evers delivered his budget address, and the one thing that you were really excited about was the revitalization of the Well Woman program. What is that?
The Wisconsin Well Woman program has been around for, I think, a couple decades now, and it's really been set up to help low-income women access cancer screenings and treatment. So it's an incredibly powerful program. Before, it had actually been set up to make sure that there was a coordinator, a navigator, someone in every single one of Wisconsin's 72 counties to help women get connected to those screenings and those services. And there were thousands of providers. You could go to your own medical home. Whoever your current insurer was likely to be able to help serve you through that screening and treatment. Well, under the Walker administration, that program was greatly diminished and dismantled in a way, and that from 72 regional coordinators down to 72 coordinators down to 14 regional coordinators, and from thousands of healthcare providers down to around several hundred. And so now we have 14 regional coordinators in Wisconsin trying to help all these same women who need to access affordable cancer screenings and treatment. And women are falling through the cracks, and these 14 coordinators are really frustrated at the lack of services available and the women who, again, are falling off the program and are not being screened and treated.
Sarah Finger is the executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, a nonprofit organization that advocates for policies supporting women's health. What would women's health look like in your community if you could make some improvements, make some changes? What would they be? What services would you like to see offered? How would that look? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Give us a call and join our program. Another facet of this conversation is that if a Governor Evers budget was approved, Badger Care would be expanded. Why is this a big deal for women in the state?
This is a huge deal. We have been advocating for full Medicaid expansion ever since the Affordable Care Act was passed. That was 9 years ago now. 63% of adult enrollees on Medicaid are women. So we know this is a women's health program in that sense. And by fully expanding Medicaid and Badger Care in Wisconsin, we could offer new health care coverage to over 80,000 individuals. And if you apply that same 63%, that's 50,000 more women in Wisconsin that could get access to health care and be their best selves at preconception stages so that we can help improve these maternal child health outcomes.
Opioid addiction has gripped our state as well as the entire country. How big a problem is addiction among pregnant women in Wisconsin, and what's being done to address the issue?
We're seeing that addiction crisis happen across the country, and we know, again, Wisconsin has raised up the issue as a statewide public health crisis. In the American Health rankings that I was speaking about earlier, we actually had a 16% increase in drug-related deaths among women from 2017 to 2018. And in addition to that, we also are up around excessive drinking among women. We're actually 50th in the country when it comes to excessive drinking among women in this American Health rankings. So we know we have these substance abuse issues in Wisconsin. What we as a Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health fear is that instead of helping prevent and treat women, especially pregnant women who are dealing with these kind of addiction issues, we have laws on the books right now in Wisconsin that punish women and that give the courts and judges the chance to confine pregnant women instead of helping them get the treatment and the prenatal care they need to help get a successful pregnancy. And so we're working on several different levels to make sure that we're helping women again preconception and while pregnant, if they have substance abuse issues, make sure we're doing something to help them through that instead of just locking them up and punishing them.
Let's put women's health in the context of the entire community. What impact does women's health have on the health of the community?
Well, you're talking to a woman on the line here. I will be the first to tell you that not only do I have unique health care needs as a woman, but I'm pretty much the coordinator of care for my own family. And that's not necessarily the case for everybody, but it's estimated that 80% of healthcare decisions and care coordination decisions are made by women, whether they're a mom, whether they're a daughter, whether they're a sister, a friend, or a coworker. And so I really think that it all begins with women being their healthiest, their most safest, their most economically secure. And with us as 51% of the population, I think having us be our healthiest selves will make the communities even more healthier, our workplaces more healthier, and our state more healthier.
Sarah, I think that's a great place for us to leave it. Thank you so much for coming into the studio and joining us this morning. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Finger is the executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, a nonprofit organization that advocates for policies supporting women's health. We really appreciate her being here and you as well. More to come on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.